You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Welcome to another edition of Influence, the global podcast that shines a spotlight on the influencer marketing industry. My name is Gordon Glenister. And for those of you that don't know who I am, I'm a keynote speaker, trainer and consultant in the sector and published author on influencer marketing strategy. Influence is also a proud member of the Marketing Podcast Network, where you can listen to other amazing influencer and marketing related shows. But before we start, please don't forget to subscribe to this show just to make sure that you don't miss a future episode. Now, today I'm talking with Johan Christiansen, who's the head of Creator Success Europe for global platform LTK. And our topic is what makes a creator successful and be able to better monetize what they do. So having their own shops is one thing, but helping them grow as creators, their business successfully, is also very important. So I started by asking Johan about his story and his journey to LTK, and here's what he had to say.
I think the most shocking news, to me at least, was when I had an interview with someone recently this year that had looked at my profile and said, you've been in the influencer industry for almost 10 years, and I had to take a step back and go, yeah, in about 2 years. Which is not long since its infancy, I would say, of 11 years, really. But I started by almost a mistake in New York at Bloglovin. And some of you listeners who have been in the industry for quite some time will recognize that Bloglovin at one point was the absolutely largest RSS blog aggregator reading platform. And there I build the community team. And over time, I took over the support team and the moderation team as well, which was extremely challenging, I would say. And I had no idea what I was doing, but I had a great support from the team there. And over time, learned a lot about the influencer industry. I was there for a couple of years. Then I moved into an affiliate company. So I had more of the e-commerce side of things. And after a while, one of my friends from Bloglovin, who was good friends with our founders, Amber and Baxter, sent me a director level role at RewardStyle. I'm going to out myself here a lot, Gordon, but when I applied, I thought I had no chance of getting it because I've been working alongside RewardStyle for years. I had massive amounts of respect for it. It was just this behemoth and is a behemoth. Today, called LTK, obviously. I applied and had the most rigorous interview process in my entire life. I flew into England early morning, had 4 hours of back-to-back interviews with a phenomenal number of team members. I flew back and I think I landed 22, 23 hours later and I was on my feet the entire time. And I was so tired, I couldn't go to bed. I just sat on my couch and stared into the wall. I got the job, so I relocated from Sweden to London. And I've been with LTK, which was called RewardStyle, now for about 3.5 years, handling our European influencer creator client relationship. So it's been an absolute privilege. First few months, I just suffered from immense amounts of imposter syndrome. I learned as much in 2 months as I did in 2 years of my previous role. And my previous role was great, but it's just so sophisticated. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've been too fascinated by LTK and how it sort of that the platform has exploded, hasn't it, really? One of the things that really fascinates me is some of these creators, particularly in fashion and luxury, a lot of which are women, which I know is a big part of your community, have got this phenomenal level of achievement to grow these audiences of huge sizes in some cases. But it's what next? It's the ability then to turn those followers into customers and, you know, monetize that content in a way that they're just not having to work on brand partnerships. But where do they go? How do they build their own store? It's a real challenge for them. It's all of the finance management of all of that. And some of these people, you know, with all due respect, are great at fashion and makeup. And when we did a survey at the BCMA, we found that, you know, managing finance, marketing, and all those areas and those business functions don't all come naturally to some of those content creators, or it's not something they like doing. And so one of the great things about your platform is it takes a lot of that stress away, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's the only reason my team exists. And I think this is why we're so unique in the industry as well. What we do on a day-to-day basis is essentially just obsess about how can we, in a scalable way, educate and make our creators even better at what they do. And it goes from how to make the most money, how to optimize content, to making sure everyone's up to speed with ad tagging guidelines, the ASA, for instance. I think once you become very successful, you can build a team. And there's been some very notable entrepreneurial creator, Zoella is a great example in the UK, and obviously Chef and Ivani, and all the OGs from before have become their own brands and own companies. But until you hit a certain point, even when you do, but even before, if you just plugged in to LTK, if you just join our platform, yes, you have the best possibility to monetize and be economically successful, but that is one part of it almost. The other part is that you will open up this sort of faucet of continuous learning. And we see that the people who read and take time to educate themselves and take calls with my team, and if you can, if you're listening, you're a content creator, why are you not on my team every second of every day to analyze your content and help you out if you're interested in growing financially? Because that's what we do. So I would say that's one of the best things to do in a scalable way. Join us and you'll get the best, most up-to-date sort of information about the industry from us. And then once you get big enough to build your own team, obviously that takes on a different way.
Yeah. So let's just roll that back a bit in terms of process. So I happen to know somebody that I'm assisting personally, actually. She's already got an audience in excess of about 60,000 on Instagram. She's already been in the mainstream public eye, and yet she needs to monetize a lot more of her content. So I'm just thinking, you know, reward style could be a platform for her. What would be the process? And what can they earn? I mean, typically, what can these guys and girls earn? I know it's all how long is a piece of string, but I mean...
So I would say first and foremost, if you go back to what you said, she has 60K on Instagram. I want to make a really clear distinction that this is... The way I see it, I'm going to remove myself as a, sort of the LTK person and look at myself as the influencer person. There's a difference between social platforms and what we do. We live and breathe influencers. That's all we do. It's our main client. Social platforms, social commerce, if you want to call it like that, their clients are ad business. They want to get eyeballs. It's very risky to build anything as a base on a social platform, in my opinion. And to start, I would say, first thing you got to do is open up an account on LTK app, make that your flagship store. That's how we see it. This is a consumer app that is completely built around your needs and success. That's it. We have a completely beautiful symbiosis with our creators. We're founded by a creator and we work for creators. We've done so without hesitation for 11 years. So that would be the first thing. And then the second thing you asked, you know, how much can you make? That is impossible. So there's two questions I've had in my career that comes up. If you hear someone answer this, disqualify them from the conversation. Because the truth is, the beauty of the influencers is that they're very uniquely attractive to their audiences. That's something I will never try to influence. We can help you with anything you want. But your ability to build a sort of cultural relationship where it's almost like a friendship relationship to your audience, that's what only you can do. We can help with anything else. So the second thing is, if you want to know how much you can make, you have to understand analytics. So plug into LTK, join, stalk my team, get active, link to various brands, link consistently, do it for X amount of weeks or months. And then look at how much am I making with this brand? How much am I making with that brand? That content form, does video work for me better? maybe you have become big enough so that we reach out to you and say, hey, do you want to have a call? And then maybe ask us to go, okay, on average, looking at my previous performance history, what's feasible for me to earn? Obviously, consistency is so key. I think a lot of creators, and by human nature itself, they'll plug into something, they'll try it out a little bit, and then they will let it go. Our data, and I don't want to become too sort of granular because it's so individual and unique to every creator, but we see it takes a while to get started, but you're doing the right thing. In the beginning, it starts slow. And once you hit a critical mass, that's when really the fun starts, but you gotta keep consistency at play. It's just like investing. You can't go in with $100 and expect $200 return the next week. I mean, if you're lucky, maybe you double in crypto, maybe you will, but usually that's not the case.
No, I agree with you. I mean, something I say all of the time is consistency. And even if it's only two posts a week that you've thought about them, they are on a Tuesday and a Thursday, it is consistent. And the amount of people that say to me, oh, I want to be a content creator, I want to be an influencer, because they see visually all of the gifts and the goodies and stuff that people are sharing. But what they don't understand is the trench digging that's going on before then to really build that credibility.
Yes, Gordon, that is such a good shout, because I've been spending a lot of time with creators of my career, and the amount of time it takes, coupled with people's misunderstanding of what a creator does. So people might think, oh, you take a photo, maybe you're pretty, you take a photo, you wear something nice, you post it, and boom. Creators will obsess about maybe 100 different types of photos. They'll tag, they'll think about time, cadence, how many times you post, when, why. We have creators, I was talking to one of our more prominent creators, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, and she said, I'll post something and I'll obsess about my analytics. If it's not performing well, I will remove it because I don't want to flood my audiences with things that I'm interested in. I thought that was definitely like not maybe the most common behavior, but still that's the level of care that goes on in the background and the traveling and then the setup. It might take a full day to make one photo. For creators.
Absolutely. Yeah, because it's got to be the right one. But if you think about a typical creative agency, because that's what they are in many instances, aren't they? Not only, you know, a retailer, they're multi-skilled, of course, aren't they? And that's why I think people tend to forget, you know, you pay a creative agency or an advertising agency big bucks to do something. And yet in one person, you've got all of this skill set and they're juggling all these plates together, aren't they? And it's quite demanding.
I have friends in the creative industries doing these things, and they're going to probably hate me. And this might be the quote that I get remembered by, but I'll boldly say that creators might be even better than hiring a creative agency for one reason. It's because no matter how creative you are, no matter how much in the culture you are, you'll never have the same level of granular sort of insight and relationship to the audience that you're selling to if you are a creator.
I mean, we've talked about some of them. What are the other sort of success criteria for a really good up-and-coming creator? What are you looking for? Or what is a brand looking for?
I think from a brand perspective, it's things that seem very, very obvious. Is the brand of a creator in alignment with the brand of the retailer? You know, sometimes it can be a very big company like Nike. They have a certain type of shoe that they want to sell to a certain type of creator, and their audiences is when they create like a certain atmosphere around it. But scaling it back to the foundational sort of layers, it would be, are they linking to the brand organically, or do we have to force someone to link to us for the first time? That might not be optimal. So when my team goes out to talk to our creators, you know, creators often ask us, how do I land campaigns? That's like the golden question for most people. And the truth is, if you want to be seen by a company, you have to actually try and get surfaced. And you get surfaced, it's almost like an audition, like a continuous audition.
Absolutely. That's a good way of looking at it, which is why we use the word casting, isn't it, sometimes? Because in a way, it's very similar, isn't it?
And I think for a lot of brands, looking at the past 10 years, it's gone from just very vanity metric numbers to more cultural context. So brands now will go to the LTK app because it's a very easy way to browse through multiple categories of creators. They will look at things like, are they linking to us already? Great, because then we know they love us. And we know that they'll probably do a good job creating the content that we need because they want to repurpose the content too. How is the content form? What kind of vibe? What kind of brand? When we talk about high fashion brands, for instance, they look a lot at like what kind of brand are they exuding? What's the brand sort of atmosphere for this creator? We want to position ourselves in a good atmosphere. We don't want to sort of change the taste of the creator, atmosphere of the creator, if you will. So I would say if creators are listening, if you want to get campaigns, you should link, create great content consistently always, and then tag or link to the brands you want to be seen by.
Yeah. And what about stuff like hashtags?
Hashtags work. When I was starting out, hashtag was a very common topic, and then it got abused, and then no algorithm could sort of use hashtags. But hashtags is still very, very important. I would say keep consistent and be very accurate. You know, speaking very transparently, and this can be seen across any social media platform, including LTK, people think the more hashtags I put, the better, but it gets confusing. You might actually be penalized for it. I'm not saying you are, but...
No, I think you're right. Hashtag stuffing is a real issue for Instagram. If you go over a certain number, I mean, I always talk about no more than 16. Even then, I've seen hashtags in excess of 30. It's too much, really. And it's almost as though it's you're not getting the type of audience you want just because a hashtag is trending. How relevant is it to your audience? You know, so boss babe in Chicago, you know, just because that's trending, is where's the relevance of that, for example, you know?
Here's my best tip to anyone thinking about things like algorithm. Take a step back, ask the question, what's the most important thing for the platform I'm engaging with, whether that's LTK, whether that's Instagram. And for a lot of these platforms, it's relevancy. It's making sure the best content gets delivered to the consumer that's going to appreciate the most. I would not be surprised if Instagram goes, well, if it's more than 16, like you said, this person is just stuffing. And let's not surface them because we can't understand the accuracy of the content. If someone goes, here's five hashtags, and all of those are super relevant, I think that's a better play over time. And it looks better too, because I don't think it looks great if a brand goes in and looks at your post and it's just like, it's a dress, it's a female dress, and it says men's jeans hashtag, just because you're trying to get into like the men's jeans sort of.
That's exactly what I was going to say, to be honest. So yeah. I mean, obviously at the moment, this creator economy is booming, isn't it? And it's currently valued at over 16 billion. When you consider like in 2016, it was just 1.6 billion, which isn't that many years ago.
I think if you want to talk about the history, I believe the genesis of serious influencer marketing started 11 years ago when Amber and Baxter started Reward Style and built in analytics and data reporting from scratch when no one knew what the hell was going on with anything. When I went to see Gucci, the team at Gucci, and when they were looking for building an influencer campaign, and they put forward the ones that they liked in the team. And me and the head of sales looked at each other, were like, they're awful for what you want to accomplish. I find it very exciting. I consider myself very privileged to have seen everything from the beginning when no one had any faith. Marketers shunned. I mean, Gordon, if you've been in the industry for a long time, marketers shunned influencer marketing as sort of doesn't fit in our omnichannel approach. And you can't measure it. And it feels very just sort of cliche or what's it called? Kitschy, whatever you call it. To today when they are sort of cultural arbiters of brand products. And brands, really, what they're buying is cultural relevancy. So when you play something with an influencer, that if you can find someone that likes you, they will make content that are more culturally relevant to their audiences and their target demographic than most creative agencies or brands can do. Because at some point, we're not going to be 17, 18, 19-year-old kids with a TikTok addiction, but creators will. So they are ambassadors for certain type of cultures. And we have more cultures than ever today. It's impossible to keep track of. I'm not the best person to ask for what's the next female fashion thing happening for young kids. But my team will know because we work with influencers that set that sort of culture.
Well, that's a really good point, because I think this is the thing where, you know, sometimes we think of influencer marketing as just a marketing and a sales method. But actually, a lot of brands could do well with using creators as part of their own research,
yeah,
in developing their own trends and realizing that these guys and girls are at the sharp face of what's going on. And actually, you know, don't just use them as brand ambassadors and amplifiers. Really think about, you know, bringing them in, immerse them into your brand, educate them in such a way that they can be part of that process. This is something I feel really strongly about, is that certain brands just see influencers and content creators as just amplifiers of something they've already created. And yet, I think they're missing a massive trick there by not involving them, engaging them in that process much earlier.
Yeah, most of them are. I think it goes through evolution, and we're super young. We're 11 years old at this point. A lot of brands, and understandably, they look for ROI, return on ad spend, ROAS, the famous. But some brands, I would say, have gone to another level of evolution, and they go, well, listen, we have a pair of shoes. We have no idea how to position them in the marketplace to appeal to the Gen Z generation. So we're just going to use cool, relevant creators that might not make sales, but we're going to have them create the content for us. And then we're going to amplify it on our channels. I think that is the next level of our influencer marketing is today, is way broader. I think way more long-term valuable than just the direct sale. But nothing's wrong, obviously, but it's just something to think about.
Amplified content. Yeah, absolutely super. So finally then, what's coming up next for LTK?
Everything. I mean, it's such an impossible question to ask, but here I would almost want to risk my job by breaking every confidentiality clause I have. But if you think about it, we're a global company bringing in insights from every region of the world, working with every major social platform that we in the West might not even be aware of. And we are sort of distilling this into value for creators through our LTK app. So we have an incredible product team, an engineering team in the US working on a multitude of cool things coming out for the LTK app. Watch the space, but also don't get left behind. I mean, we just got, and I need to plug this because I am personally just proud of belonging, being here, but post the investment from SoftBank, which is one of the world's most renowned tech funds as well, we got $300 million in. It is everything, Gordon. It's building the absolute best shopping experience where you can shop contextually on the LTK app through creator content. We're going to open up in a lot more regions. I've never been as busy or tired or excitement all wrapped up into one in my entire life. And there are cool things happening all the time. And, you know, maybe my team is still thinking, and I have to give them a shout because we're all challenged to do things that we've not done before in new languages. We've not done it before, and learning about how to open up in countries that I've never even been in. I think I got to travel a little bit by myself.
This podcast is supported by the Branded Content Marketing Association, promoting the value of influencer marketing globally.
That's it for another edition of Influence. Don't forget to subscribe to the show and give me your feedback, gordon@gordonglenister.com. Or you can follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, where you can also ask me a question. If you're able to give us a 5-star review, we do really appreciate that. And if you want help in creating an influencer marketing strategy, or you want to join the Influencer Marketing Roundtable or Facebook group, head over to www.gordonglenister.com. And as I said, if you want to find out more about our shows and others, go over to the MPN Marketing Podcast Network, where you can see all of them, or indeed on my own website. Thanks as always to my producer, Neil Whiteside from Freedom One. And until next time, from me, Gordon Glenister, it's bye for now.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.